D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5. The Game, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and David Janes here with you on day one of the Titans offseason. Head coaching interviews have been requested. Cam Ward avoided the worst-case scenario with his right shoulder injury. And we are going to spend a lot of time looking forward. But for just a moment, we are going to look back. So before the season, Willie came up with 10 Titans questions that he thought would determine how successful the team would ultimately be. Well, he came up with 9 because he was kind enough to let me do one. But now that the season is over, it is time to review our responses, and I'm a little petrified. So, Willie, how did we do?
Well, let's go back. And as you mentioned briefly right before the end of the last segment, we don't just make these questions up on a whimsical kind of theme. We take all of the things that we talk about during training camp that we think are the key things that everybody was honing in on during all these practices where you're trying to figure out, can these guys be any good? How good is Cam Ward? How's it going to work out for Brian Callahan? All of these things, and we shape the questions that way. Whereas if the questions go a certain way, that's going to lead to maybe the team maxing out the best version of themselves. And if it doesn't, we know what happens. And so you can get an idea how these questions are going to turn out. So here's what we have. The first one had to do with the offensive line, because we know the year before with Will Levis quarterbacking in particular, it was a disaster in terms of how many sacks they gave up. And so we looked at what was reasonable in terms of the league average and saying, look, they're probably not going to be league average. That would be a huge leap. So what's realistic? We picked over or under 42.5 sacks allowed for the offensive line / quarterback. Because as we have studied, the Sean Payton theory of sacks are a quarterback stat, not an offensive line stat. But let's just accept that it's a combination of both. So I said over, Adam said over, D-May said over. We did not have faith that they could cut that many off, and they didn't. So they ended up with 56 sacks allowed, 55 with Cam Ward behind center, and 1 by Brandon Allen.
Now, the previous year, they gave up what?
It was
higher than what it was this season.
The previous season, they gave up
670? Was it 60?
52.
Was it 52? So they gave up less last year than they did this year.
Yeah, it's pretty close to the same amount. 56 this year, 52 last year.
But it seemed like they got better toward the end of the season. That's what
I would agree with.
That's why I thought
I
thought last season was much higher because of how that team looked even toward the end. This team didn't look like they were giving up more sacks than the team was last season.
I would agree with that sentiment, that the offensive line appeared to improve over the course of the season. Mm-hmm. For the entire season, the Tennessee Titans offensive line finished 25th out of 32 in Pro Football Focus's offensive line pass blocking efficiency rating. Now, that's for the entire season. I'll look to see what it was over the past couple of months, but if I had to guess, that number looks a lot better since the bye than it did over the course of the entire season. So that was question one. Willie, what's next?
Yeah, I think we're going to find that a lot of the things did steadily get better for the offense, not dramatically better, but with Cam Ward especially. So speaking of Cam Ward, we asked a very simple question for question two, and that was over or under 12.5 games played. Could he stay out there? We put 12.5 down because if you remember, Adam, you listed once he was going to start the 17th game, how rare that is in the history of the Titans franchise. Forget about a rookie. We're talking about all the Titans quarterbacks. It's not easy just to make it through the season, especially when he's taking a beating the way he did. So 12.5 is what we set, and obviously he shattered that. I was the only one who thought he may not last. I said under. You guys, and Adam, you said all 17. So that's the one little caveat that I wrote down. You said he will get all 17 in. D-May said over as well, so congratulations, guys.
And he did. It doesn't matter that he got hurt on the first series because he started the 17th game.
Yes.
So I will take my probably one victory lap in this exercise. I will do that.
Very nicely done. Very nicely done. Question three. This is one that, wow, at the time seemed like a very important question. And it turned out to be a whoa. Calvin Ridley, over or under 1,100 yards receiving?
Goodness.
We all said over.
Oops.
Thinking that he would just simply be targeted so many times. I think that was at least my theory, and I think you guys agreed, that he was going to be the focal point. He may not be the best receiver out there, but because he's going to clearly be the best that they have, they'll throw it his way a bunch, and he would get 1,100, which is not that high of a number, really, if you get targeted 100, 120 times. But as we know, it didn't go well from the start, and then he got hurt. So that one was not even close.
Yeah, unfortunately for him. And we may have seen the last of Calvin Ridley in a Titans uniform.
I'm fairly certain of that. Yeah. I don't expect Calvin Ridley to be back. What's next, Willie?
Question number four. This is an interesting one. Most combined receiving yards. We wondered whether they would go with the youth movement. And so we had two groups that we could choose from. Would the youth overtake the veteran placeholders that they had? We took Ridley out of the mix. So we had group A was the young group of the three fourth-round picks, DK, Io Manor, Helm, and we threw in Bryce Oliver, who turned out to be a non-factor. He had 8 yards receiving in one catch. And then we had the veteran placeholders, Lockett, Van Jefferson, and Chigakonkwo. You guys both went with the veteran placeholders, but it was interesting how it developed, and it went this way pretty early. The three youngsters, the fourth-round picks, all rookies, DK 423, Io Manor 515, and Gunnar Helm 357 as the tight end. Then you add the 8 yards from Bryce Oliver, 1,303 yards, if I did the math right. And then the veteran placeholders, Lockett, had only 70 yards, and we know what happened there. He was just complete zero. Van Jefferson, 350, which is about what I thought. You know, that's probably more than a lot of us thought that he would actually get. And then Chig had 560 yards, which led the team, but that adds up to 980. So hats off to the rookies, right? That's, I think, a positive in the Titans quarter that these three guys got their feet wet, they played a lot, and they had a reasonable amount of production as rookies.
For what it's worth, the Titans put this out earlier. DK and Io Manor are the third rookie wide receiver duo with 40 receptions, 400 receiving yards, and 4 receiving touchdowns each in a season in NFL history. Now, who knows what DK and Io Manor will ultimately become? I don't think either of them are number one caliber wide receivers. But DK, of course, had a huge impact on special teams. He's a Pro Bowler as a specialist. Io Manor, as Derek said last week, needs to get that dog in him a little bit. But it is encouraging that they seem to have found two young receivers who can make at least a solid impact, a solid contribution to the team.
They are part of building blocks. That's what they are. They're not the foundation. They're bricks. And you were forced to use those bricks because the ones that you had, you know, they were not good, and you had to go to the young guys. And I don't think the Titans expected to use these three guys as much as they had to do, because when you're using your rookies like that, either a lot of times it's usually you're doing bad, so they got to play, or it's an injury and they got to play. But the silver lining is, okay, now we see what they are capable of doing. Do you have any bona fide flat-out number ones? Probably not. But as I said about Elliott, and it was one play yesterday, it was a prime example. He just got bullied out of bounds on a go route. That's when you have to transform your body and become much stronger and play the size that you are and not shrink yourself. So if he comes back with that mentality, that body shaping transformation, then they may look at him as a pseudo number one, but they probably would, you know, want a top flight. But they can, if something happens, they can live with having DK Meinem, Elik as their number one. But, I mean, this rookie class I think is promising. To kind of sum it all up with those three guys, I think it's promising. I think depending on what they do with Chig, Gunnar Helm may be thrust into the number one tight end, meaning pass and block. So need to see what they're going to do in free agency. But I think they've gotten a lot out of this rookie class, especially on the offensive side of the ball.
The other question that is sort of buried in there with Chig leading the team in receiving yards, mm-hmm. you know, it's modest, 560, but it's pretty solid for a tight end. Is he back next year?
Yeah, that's another question.
He put out a statement, I guess you could say,
it's almost like a farewell.
On social media that gave off the vibe that he's not coming back.
Yeah, it was almost not like coming a back. Farewell sort of.
It was like, know, thanks for the 4 great years in Tennessee. Love y'all, yada, yada, yada. It read like he already knows he's not coming back. Who knows? But when I saw that on my feed, I thought, yeah, he's not coming back. It reads like somebody who knows he's not going to be a part of this team next year.
And the crazy part about it is that he did it yesterday, right?
Yes.
He did it prior to exit interviews. Like, what if in exit interviews they say, hey, we want you back. We want to sign you. We're going to do what we need to do to sign you.
But do you think that means they've already had that conversation or the agent?
There's a possibility,
already
yeah.
Gotten the feel?
You're right. There's a possibility that's the feel they're getting from the Tennessee Titans. Because I'm sure his contract came up, like, renegotiations toward, like, the latter part of the season. I'm sure it would have had to. He's a free agent. So what are you thinking about, my guy? Do you think he's a guy that you want back on your team? So they're filling him out, and probably, like you said, they ain't filling back. So you got to move on.
Gunnar Helm had a solid rookie season, and maybe the Titans feel that, as Teron Davenport told us just now, that they've got a number in mind for Chig Okonkwo, and if he is unwilling to take it, they'll just move on and focus on Gunnar Helm, I guess. But I liked what I saw from Gunnar Helm. Again, I don't know what his ultimate ceiling is, but the guy catches nearly everything that's thrown to him, so that's good, but we'll see. Willie, how else did we do?
Okay, by the way, I'm going to just emphasize that I was the only one that got that right with the answer. So I had faith in the youth. My faith in the youth. Availability was the key for this next one. We had a creative question. L'Jarius Sneed and Tajay Spears.
Oh, Lord.
Two guys notorious for missing time with injury. And we asked the question, how often would they be on the field? We figured if they did, that would help the team do well. And we set the over-under at 17.5.
Combined.
Well, as it turned out, combined. It had to be the two of them combined. And we knew that Tajay Spears, off the start, was going to miss the first 4 games because he was on injured reserve. So we knew that at the time. So that factored in to the 17.5. So here's the verdict. L'Jarius Sneed lasted 7 games, and the L'Jarius Sneed saga, oh boy, do we even need to go down that road?
Not really.
And then Tajay Spears, once he got back in there, he played all 13 games. So he stayed healthy after the high ankle sprain in, I think it was the first preseason game. It wasn't the first, it was the second. I said under. You guys correctly said over because the total
ding,
was
ding,
20.
Ding, ding.
Nice job, guys. You had faith.
Hey, there we go. I think I have more faith in Tajay Spears than L'Jarius Sneed.
But you knew the max for Spears was going to be 13, which
13,
he got,
yeah.
And that was the key because Sneed he barely got the 7 in there. Gosh.
I did chuckle when I saw this post from Paul Kaharsky from Locker Cleanout Day. Quote, L'Jarius Sneed was in locker room, said he'd be back for us to talk, disappeared.
Disappeared.
The story of L'Jarius Sneed as a member of the Tennessee Titans.
Disappeared. Oh, my goodness, man.
Yes.
That's a good one. That's a funny one.
Let's roll through the rest of them, Willie.
Okay, Titans sacks, over or under 32.5.
This was my question.
Yes.
My contribution.
Yes, you said it really low, and you said under because you were the one that made up the question, Adam, and you were wrong. T-Base and I got it right. They actually had 42 sacks, which wasn't bad, and, of course, Jeffrey Simmons with 11 sacks had a resurgent year. It's the kind of year that everybody was hoping he would have. It's too bad that they couldn't do more with that.
My thought process behind that question was they lost Harold Landry, who was their leading sacker last season. Mm-hmm. They didn't really add anybody to bolster the pass rush. And I thought they're not going to get as many sacks as they did last season. But as you said, Willie, and as we said many times throughout the season, kudos to Jeffrey Simmons. He put his money where his mouth is and had a fantastic season. I'm looking at the sack leaders for the Titans. Jeffrey Simmons had 11. Jahad Ward had 5. Arden Key had 4. Draymond Jones, before the trade, had 4.5. Sebastian Joseph Day had 2. Tavondre Sweat had 2. Jalen Harrell had 4.5 somehow. So good for them. Good for them for proving me wrong.
They're not going to be confused with the doomsday defense of Too Tall Jones and those guys, but it was better than we thought. So they got some work to do there. Question 7. Will Jeffrey Simmons be on the Titans all season? We were wondering if they would consider trading him. Of course, remember, we had to answer this in the summer, and there were all these questions about Simmons, the leader. Simmons, can he stay healthy? What's he worth? They need draft picks. So it was a big, big question at the time. And at the trade deadline, we had a big debate on it. They have doubled down on Jeffrey Simmons. They believe he's the leader that they are going to build around. So obviously he's still there. I said yes because that he would stay on the team. You guys did as well. My reasoning was they just wouldn't have the guts to go there. And I do wonder if Amy Adams kind of put it out there, we want to keep him.
They didn't have the guts.
Well, they never shopped him around.
He was off limits. Off limits.
They never even tried.
They did not have, as Mick Foley would say, the testicular fortitude to trade Jeffrey Simmons. And he had a fabulous season. By the way, I'm still on team trade Jeffrey Simmons if it comes to it.
No, I'm not. I'm never. He needs to retire in that two-tone blue.
We'll see. We'll see. Okay.
3 more quick ones. Will Cam Ward finish in the top 3 in offensive rookie of the year voting? I said no. You guys said yes.
He may end up.
I don't know if we've actually seen the votes yet, but I would assume that he is nowhere near the top 3.
He may end up in the top 3.
No way.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
All right.
He's going to be in the top three.
No, there's no way.
I'm just saying.
I'm not sure he's going to be in the top 3 quarterbacks, right?
Who's? I mean, Jackson Dart.
Tyler Shuck had a great end to the season.
He had a really good 4 games, and they had to throw the ball 100 million times.
I mean, Joe Flacco won the Comeback Player of the Year award.
A lot of times it's just the stats. Like they're
playing
at the 3
games.
Say he got sacked 55 times. I just don't think he'll be anywhere close to the top 3.
No, that was a bad one on my part. My bad, everybody.
No, I think he will. I got a feeling he will.
All right, we'll see.
Well, you check that, D-Mason. Get back to us if you see. Then we're going to look up the source of the voting. Like, D-Mason got 12 votes. Nobody else got more than one.
I never thought I'd hear something from Derek that was more ridiculous than you can say Happy New Year to somebody on March 1st if you haven't seen him all year, Tank. But we might have found it with Cam Ward still finishing in the top 3.
Oh, man.
Well,
hey, don't be surprised.
Okay, here's another one we had. Mm-hmm. Would the Titans be able, after the absolute disaster their special teams were last year, dead last and a distant last, would they finish league average in special teams? And, of course, Bones Fossil came in, and D-Mace had faith in his former coach. He said yes. I said yes. Adam said, no way. How could they possibly move up that much? But actually, if I look at the FTN, FTN Fantasy website, which is the old Football Outsiders, they were better than average. They were 7th overall in the rankings. Now, that's one set of numbers, but would we agree? They were.
Of course.
At least average, right? They were probably a little bit better than average by the eye test.
Their return game was even their.
Well, there's no question.
Return game was one of the best in the league. I mean, their kicker was pretty good. The punting, I mean, I would tend to believe they were above average.
Would we agree?
I would rule that they were above average. Yes.
Yeah.
So I'll take my L there.
That's a nice job by Bones Fossil there. Did a good job of taking a disastrous area and making it better. And then finally, the Titans record. I said 5-12. Adam said 5-12. D-Mace, 6-11. He thought they had a little more faith. So none of us were right, but Adam and I were closer.
Yeah.
Well, I'll take it. I will take it. 615-737-1025. We just had to, you know, we have to check ourselves, right? We can't make these predictions and then not go back to them. I don't even want to know what our NFL season predictions are. By the way, my projected Super Bowl champion was eliminated last night. Sorry, David. That was...
No, you're not.
I am. I've got nothing against the Baltimore Ravens. I feel bad. But that was one of the most insane endings to any football game I can recall. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it is Black Monday in the NFL. Four coaches have been fired around the league, and one of them will reportedly interview with the Tennessee Titans. We mentioned Kevin Stefanski, but another one of the coaches fired today will reportedly interview with the Tennessee Titans. We'll tell you who coming up next. 615-737-1025. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. Let's go to our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, and welcome in Dylan. Hi, Dylan. How are you?
Guys, I'm doing fantastic. Thank you so much for taking the call. I was kind of on board with you as well in the beginning, talking about trading Jeffrey Simmons, but I really think going into this next sophomore season for Cam Ward, it's almost crucial that the Titans just kind of reverse everything they did in the past. It's time that we start paying the players who are giving their sweat and blood to us, the Jarrell Caseys of the world, not letting Eddie George go to the Cowboys, not letting Keith Bullock go to the Giants. This has been such a long instance of the Titans just letting their best players walk. And I used to think Jeffrey Simmons' two first-round picks sold. But, man, it's time we start keeping people around here who have worked for it. Now, going forward, this coach hire, if you don't hit this correct, like Eddie George said, we're 10 years in the hole. It's going to take us way longer to get out of this. It's absolutely pivotal that the Titans pair someone who makes sense for Cam Ward. I mean, heck, Mike Tomlin and Aaron Rodgers make sense. I mean, Daniel Jones and the head coach for the Colts make sense. Forgive me, I'm just rambling here, but you've got to get someone that makes sense. And I'm sorry, but Bo Hardigree, Mike McCoy, Brian Callahan, and Brandon Allen all telling Cam Ward what to do, I would be miserable if I was him. Get somebody in there who can speak his language because I'm tired of being ass. Love you guys.
Thank you, Dylan. You did forget one. You forgot about the Titans letting Derek Mason go to the Baltimore Ravens.
Well, I mean, Samari Rowe, but, you know, hey, to each his own. Listen, they got to get someone in here. One, signing Jeff Beck, I think it's priority number one for the Titans as far as free, you know, who they want to add to their team, who they want to keep. I think Jeff has to be your number one priority to get him locked up so he can remain in a two-tone blue throughout his career. But then, yes, they do have to, because that Callahan hire, that set them back. Those draft picks that didn't hit set them back. It seems like now they're – with the last two drafts, they're sort of kind of getting footing to get out of this hole that they're in. It's still muddy and soft, but they've got some footing. That's why the next step is going to be the most crucial step, and that is finding a head coach and then picking the right players so they then can have a firm sort of footing on getting this team out of the hole. Because if they don't, I mean, Eddie was right. It's just going to continue to push them further and further back behind not just the AFC. I'm just talking about AFC South.
Speaking of head coaches, there have been four head coaches fired on Black Monday, the first day of the offseason following the conclusion of the regular season. Those four coaches: Raheem Morris in Atlanta, fired after two seasons. Kevin Stefanski in Cleveland, fired after six seasons. Pete Carroll, fired after just one season in Las Vegas. And Jonathan Gannon, fired after three seasons in Arizona. Adam Schefter reported earlier today that Stefanski is expected to speak with the Falcons, Giants, and Titans about their head coaching vacancies. Peter Schrager of ESPN reported within the past hour that the Titans will interview Raheem Morris for their vacant head coaching job later this week. Raheem Morris fired after two seasons with the Atlanta Falcons. He's been a head coach over 6 years in the NFL, first with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, then with the Atlanta Falcons, a career record of 37-56. Derek, you mentioned with Vance Joseph being on the request list, it's a Rooney Rule interview. For those of you who are unfamiliar with the Rooney Rule, NFL teams are required to interview at least two minority candidates for vacant head coach, GM, and coordinator positions. So Vance Joseph reportedly getting an interview. Raheem Morris reportedly getting an interview. That would satisfy the Rooney Rule.
Yeah, but these are not guys. And I think, you know, and TD spelled it out, I think both guys are really good coaches. And if you find the right situation, they could be really good head coaches in this league. So getting in front of another team, you know, bodes well for them. But I'm just being real about it. These two guys, they're not going to hire. I would be flabbergasted if they hired either one. I just would be. So I'm not saying anything people are not thinking. Again, I'm not saying that they're not really good coaches. I think they are. But in this situation, like Vance Joseph, he was – well, no, Raheem Moore was just in
Raheem Morris was in Atlanta, yes.
Yeah, and in fact, he won his last four games.
Exactly.
Which that's like never happens. You win your last four games, you get fired? What?
But even at that, they tasked him to get that team with a young quarterback to the playoffs. And it didn't happen for whatever reason. It didn't happen. And it seems more and more, I'm not sure if they believe Penix is the guy, you know? So, again, you want to put him in another situation where another young quarterback? I think some of these guys, even though I know there are only 32 of these jobs, I get it. But just like Ben Johnson did. Listen, I'm going to wait till the right situation comes. And every coach ain't like that. Every coach may not. Every coach can't wait for the right situation. So I understand that point. But I think Vance Joseph and Raheem Moore are too good of coaches just to take any job.
Right. If you're Vance Joseph, Willie, as you said at the top of the show, Vance Joseph, defensive coordinator for the Broncos, the number one seed in the AFC, great defense. If you're Vance Joseph, you don't have to rush to take a head coaching job. You've got a pretty damn good job right now. Is it going to be better being the head man in Atlanta or Cleveland or Arizona or Las Vegas or the Giants or here? I don't know. So Vance Joseph, for example, he doesn't have to rush into this. He's got a pretty cushy gig right now.
He does. And remember, he was once the head coach of the Broncos.
Yes.
So
yes.
He's clearly had a really good run there. I don't know what his family situation is, how much he just loves living in Denver. You know, he's a hero right now. You know, they're the one seed. It's everything has gone right for the Broncos. Now, I do think the AFC playoffs, as we look at it, any of the three wild cards could end up in the Super Bowl. Would we agree? I think
yeah.
Houston could well be the first opponent for the Broncos. Now, that's not an easy first game, the way Houston's been playing. We know Buffalo is going to bring a lot to the table as a wild card, and the Chargers, with Herbert back in there, and they rested some guys, you know, that's a tough out, too. So it's a wide-open AFC field, but getting back to Joseph, that's something I can't answer, is how badly he just wants another shot as a head coach.
Derek, what do you make of the fact? Okay, so the four coaches who have been requested for interviews by the Titans so far that we know, Vance Joseph, Lou Anarumo, Steve Spagnuolo, Matt Nagy. Adam Schefter said that Kevin Stefanski is expected to speak to the Titans. Peter Schrager says Raheem Morris will interview. So that's six names, four of which are defensive coaches. Should we read anything into that?
I'm not sure. Because the next three can be offensive coaches.
That is true.
So I think right now it's the guys that are available. Let's get this first wave out of the way. Because I don't even think these people, this, at least in the first, you know, interview, Amy's not going to be a part of this.
No, it's not expected exactly. that she's supposed to be a part of the first round.
It's like, okay, let's put some good candidates in front of us, guys that we can put in front of us right now, see what they're about, satisfy the rule, whatever, and move on. If they, if we get them in the office and we feel they, you know, said enough or we're seeing it kind of sort of eye to eye, then they're back for the second. But it's this three now or two now, and it's going to be another two next week or another three next week. And then depending on how the playoffs shake out, you may get even more coaches added to sort of the mix. Again, they need to turn over every possible rock they can.
To be clear, because we talked about this earlier before we go to break, only coaches who have a first-round bye or aren't in the playoffs are permitted to interview this week. So we asked about Robert Saleh, mm-hmm. for example. The 49ers are playing this weekend. Therefore, he is ineligible to be interviewed at this time. So again, the coaches who have been reportedly requested for interviews, Vance Joseph, Lou Anarumo, Steve Spagnuolo, Matt Nagy, reportedly Kevin Stefanski will speak to the Titans, Raheem Morris also reportedly will interview with the Titans. 615-737-1025. We'll take your reaction to the Titans coaching search, which is well underway. Mike Borgonzi, by the way, expected to address reporters tomorrow. So I'm interested to hear what Borgonzi has to say. We'll take your reaction. And Willie mentioned it. Now that the NFL playoff field is set, let's take a look at it. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingan here with you. We will get back into the Titans to start the 5 o'clock hour as the head coaching search is well underway. But I do want to take a moment to look at the NFL playoff bracket. Let's start in the AFC. The Denver Broncos, the number one overall seed, they get the bye. The three matchups during wild card weekend. Steelers versus Texans after that ridiculous ending to the AFC North winner-take-all matchup with the Ravens last night. So Steelers and Texans, Jaguars and Bills, Patriots and Chargers. Willie, which higher-seeded team is most ripe for an upset in the wild card weekend?
You know, I'm looking at these games and I'm asking, you know, is there really a big underdog? Is there really a big favorite? Like, what would you guys say to that? I don't think it would surprise me if any one of the seven, other than the Steelers, made it to the Super Bowl. Would you guys agree with that statement?
For what it's worth,
for the AFC,
Houston is favored by 3.5 against the Steelers. Buffalo is favored by 1.5 against the Jags. New England is favored by 3.5 against the Chargers.
So you have a Texans Steelers matchup mm-hmm. with the Steelers winning that wacky game last night, and the Texans are favored by 3.5 in Pittsburgh. That shows you how well the Texans are playing. And the Texans are what seed are they? Are they the seventh?
The fifth.
Seed?
They're the fifth.
They're the fifth seed. Jags and the Bills. That's a total coin flip. So I think maybe the answer is the Patriots. I think I still have questions because of their lack of strength of schedule. They did have a soft schedule as much as they like to downplay it, and they have beaten some good teams. I still think I have questions about the Patriots, so I would select them.
Derek?
Are we just in the AFC?
We're looking at the AFC yes. right now.
Oh, man. It's tough. But I would tend to believe the Charger and Patriot. I think Patriots are playing terrific football. I really do. But I just think maybe this isn't the year. Now, again, they could beat the Chargers and go on and make it to the Super Bowl. But there's just something about this team that I think they're a good team, but I just don't think this is the year where they take that next step. It was sort of like the Houston Texans when Stroud got there, like they were playing really good, But once you got in the first, it was like, okay, are they really going to beat the Baltimore Ravens? And they didn't. Was it the Ravens? No, they lost to them in the second round, I believe.
But keep in mind,
yeah,
Justin Herbert, 0-for-2 in the playoffs, 39 of 75 for 52% completion, 2 touchdowns, 4 interceptions in 2 career playoff games.
And that doesn't even that's just him, right?
That's
the Chargers,
just him.
As a franchise, have just not been a good playoff team. They've been there so many times, and only a couple times have they really had good runs in the playoffs. There's something about that franchise, for
right?
Some reason.
So I hear what you're saying about the Patriots. The Patriots had the easiest strength of schedule in the NFL, and good for them for taking advantage of it. Mm-hmm. And Drake May had an outstanding season, so I understand. Well, are the Patriots ready for this? It's the opponent that makes me feel like the Patriots are going to advance to the next round. I have no faith in the Chargers, as Willie just pointed out. Let's go to the NFC. Seahawks, number one seed, get the bye. Some interesting matchups in Wild Card Weekend. The Panthers back into the NFC South Championship. They take on the LA Rams. The Rams favored by 10.5. On the road at Carolina, the Eagles take on the 49ers. The Eagles are favored by 4.5. Bears and Packers in Chicago. Chicago, Derek, favored by 1.5.
That's about right, I think. I think the Bears are playing good football, but you never know. I mean, Caleb Williams can look great 1 week and then not look so good the next. So you don't know which Bear team you're going to get. The one you need to watch is the Carolina Panthers and the Rams. Not because I think Carolina's better than the Rams, but I think because the Rams got to travel. And the Panthers are an opportunistic team. They're a good team. They're still young. But if they keep the game close, like they got cheated out of that game – I think that game against the Buccaneers, Carolina should have won that game. I just think if the Rams don't come in and play like a desperate team, they may end up losing that one. So that it wouldn't even be a surprise if Carolina won.
I would love to.
I would be stunned.
Stunned.
If Carolina.
I was about to say, Willie. I want to know. I'm sure somebody has looked this up. I want to know if a division champion has been a bigger underdog in wild card weekend history than the Carolina Panthers. They are an underdog by 10.5 at home. I have to imagine that is one of the, if not the highest spread against a division champion in NFL playoff history.
What year was it Seattle that had to travel and they end up losing? They were like a 2 seed or something.
I think you might be thinking about the New Orleans Saints having to go to Seattle.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that's what it was. New Orleans had to go
Thank
to Seattle.
Thank you for reminding me. Thank you for reminding me.
So sure, it can happen. They had the great Drew Brees on that team.
They sure did.
And their offense was high flying.
But they got beast-quaked.
There you go. It can happen again.
But
they got smoked.
Look, I just look at the Panthers and
they don't look like nothing special. They don't.
Precisely.
Well, we were talking about the 10 Titans questions in the preseason and how they look now months later after you've played 17 games. Remember all the talk in the preseason about Matt Stafford and how his back was going to go? It's a time bomb. He may not start the season. He hasn't practiced. The guy had 46 touchdown passes and 8 interceptions. He had a fantastic year, maybe his best year ever.
Good for him. Yeah. Good for him. I give the Panthers close to zero chance of winning that game. I hear what you're saying, Derek. Uh-huh. And you played the game. You know. But I think the Rams are going to.
This sounds
to.
Like a take it to the bank.
Well, listen, I'm not saying. I think the Rams are a better team. I think the Rams, hands down, are a better team. But we've seen this before. The better team doesn't always win. And the Rams got to travel. And it's just like, it's almost put together for the Rams to have a tough outing against the Carolina Panthers. I'm not saying that hands down the Panthers are going to win. I said don't be surprised if the Panthers win.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. By the way, Carolina did beat the Rams this season. 31-28 in, let's see, week 12, week 13. That game also in Charlotte. So Carolina has beaten the Rams once this season. Matthew Stafford threw two interceptions in that game. Bryce Young, 15 of 20 with three touchdowns. So I guess it could happen. Nice. I suppose it could happen. But I am not going to take that one to the bank. But we may have to revisit this on Friday. What about the other two matchups, Willie, in the NFC wildcard round? 49ers at Eagles, Packers at Bears.
You know, the Packers have really gone south. They had a lead at Mile High Stadium against one of the best teams, the number one seed in the AFC. They were playing great, and then Micah Parsons blew out his knee. They lost that game, and they have not been the same team since then. Obviously, Jordan Love has missed some time. We know Malik Willis has come in there and done a nice job. It's a total coin flip. They have to go to Chicago, who has got to be thrilled with the season they've had based on where we thought they were to start the season. That's a coin flip game to me. I don't know how you pick that game, honestly. I think I might give the Packers the edge. I would take the point and a half there. And then another one that's hard to figure is the 49ers at the Eagles. The 49ers go from perhaps, what did you laid it out, right? If they had beaten the Seahawks, they would have been the one seed and could play all the way through the Super Bowl at their stadium because the Super Bowl's there this year.
Yes.
Now they've got to play the Eagles in the first game on the road. So that is a big, big flip, losing that game. It reminds us of the Vikings last year, right, where they couldn't beat the Lions, so they dropped. They go and play the Rams in the first game, and their season is over after really having a good regular season. But who can figure the Eagles out, right? The Eagles are 4.5-point favorites, but why? The Eagles have been kind of mystifying over the last few weeks. I kind of like the points in the 49ers there for some reason.
I mean, listen, the 49ers had an opportunity to seal a deal, and they couldn't.
That Seahawks defense is ferocious.
Yeah, that Seahawks defense is, and they just couldn't seal the deal. What team, like Philadelphia? Philadelphia has been a team, it's been like people have been trying to figure them out. But yet, still, they just win football games. End up 11-6, end up winning their division. But there's still something like missing with Philadelphia. It just seems like they're not the same team that won the Super Bowl. And I get it. You had some retirements from one of your best offensive linemen. So that changes the dynamics a little bit. But like the Rams, I think the Eagles are primed for a butt whooping in this one. It's just for some strange reason, even though I think San Fran, they have their issues, their warts or whatnot. But I just think them going to Philadelphia and the way Philadelphia has been playing, it's like Philadelphia hasn't been able to sort of light that fuse where everybody gets excited and everybody's like, they're the pick to win the NFC. Especially this season, it's just been like, yeah, they're a good team, but why can't they kick it into another gear?
Eli on our text line says, do you remember Seattle versus New Orleans with Seattle's losing record and they beat them? I hope Dowdle goes beast mode. First of all, Eli, yes, I remember it. Thank you for reminding me again. And look, I'll be watching the game. Rams at Panthers. Panthers are a good story. Again, backed into the NFC North title. They lost to the Buccaneers over the weekend. They needed the Falcons to beat the Saints in order to win the NFC South. But hey, they're still raising a banner or whatever they do in football. It's still going to be Panthers NFC South champions. I've got no faith that they're going to be able to win a playoff game. 615-737-1025. It all gets started this weekend, NFL Wild Card Weekend, always great. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, back into the Titans. We learned last week that Mike Borgonzi is leading the coaching search, and Mike Borgonzi is scheduled to address reporters tomorrow, by the way. So should we move certain candidates up the list. And we'll discuss those candidates coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.